We are starting a brand new teaching series today on spiritual disciplines. Nothing will get the church pumped up like this topic. Did you hear how much excitement there was around that? All right, we got it. I think that might have been my mom over there cheering me on, so thanks. Spiritual disciplines. My prayer is that through this series that you build life-giving and life-changing spiritual disciplines. Because here's the truth. Becoming a growing follower of Jesus will not happen by chance or on accident. Here's what Paul says about it. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. He's talking to one of the guys, Timothy, that he's discipling. He says this. He says, "Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly." Train yourself to be godly. That phrase really got my attention. To be a growing follower of Jesus, we can actually train ourselves. Yes, we need the power of God's word and the power of his spirit working together to transform our lives. But if we don't do anything with that, it's not gonna have any impact on us. And so Paul is saying you need to train yourself just like you would train for a new job, or just like you would train to learn a new skill, or just like if you're crazy enough, you would train to run a marathon. You could do the exact same thing. Train yourself in this path of being godly, being a growing follower of Jesus. So over the next 6 weeks, we're gonna look at six different practices, spiritual disciplines that I believe are gonna be life-giving and life-changing for you to put it into practice. Are you ready for this journey? All right, today what we're gonna talk about is detoxing your mind. Detox your mind. In life, there are lots of opportunities, lots of negative voices, lots of negative influences that can start to clutter our minds. Sometimes it comes through people. Sometimes it comes through what we see, what we listen to. Sometimes it comes through experiences. But all of that negativity can weigh our mind down. And so scripture actually gives us a way to detox our minds. Now think about the word detox. If you're someone's trying to get rid of a drug or alcohol addiction, detox means to get rid of poisonous or harmful substances that are affecting your body. So it's getting rid of that. And so the same treatment plan that can be used to detox your body can also be used to detox your mind. And so Psalm chapter 1, this whole chapter actually gives us a treatment plan for how we can detox the mind. I want you to think about your mind as a filter. And so sometimes that filter needs to be cleaned and remove the debris, remove the harmful substances. And we're gonna see how to detox the mind in Psalm chapter 1. So let's go to Psalm chapter 1. I love the book of Psalms. It gives us language for how we pray through the highs and lows of life in this life of faith. So let's start with verse 1. It says this. "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers." You read another translation, it says, "Blessed are these people who do not do these things." Blessed, favored by God, prosperous, fortunate. Experience this blessing of not doing this in verse 1, but verse 2, "They delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly." How many of you are thankful for that? The Lord watches over your path. But the path of the wicked leads to destruction. This chapter just lays out how to detox your mind. And so I want you to take notes today. I want you to write down to give us this plan, this treatment plan on how to do it. Number one, you have to remove the negative voices. You have to get rid of those negative voices. And a lot of times the negative voices show up in people. Sometimes the negative voices come from people. Sometimes the negative voices come from things that we see online, the things we feed on, social media or news media. I don't know that I've ever spent an hour scrolling on social media or looking at the news and thought, man, that was a good use of time. I'm really glad I did that. I feel really uplifted right now. Sometimes those negative voices come from influences around us, voices that are trying to beat us down. I mean, we live in a world where there's going to be negativity. And Paul, what he said is, don't waste your time arguing over godless ideas or wives' tales, or I would add conspiracy theories. Don't waste your time on that, on the things that don't matter. Instead, invest your time in the things that do matter. Things that are gonna uplift your life. So you gotta detox, means removing those negative voices. Maybe we should back up and say it actually means identify those negative voices and then remove them. Sometimes we have to remove the negative voices, and sometimes we have to remove ourselves from a negative environment. Have you ever noticed that? To remove ourselves. I mean, even Jesus had to do that. There's a story in Mark chapter 6. Jesus was decided he was, this was right in the middle of his ministry. He was going to take his disciples back to his hometown of Nazareth. And I can imagine that homecoming was exciting for him to show his disciples, hey, here's where I grew up. And so he happened to be preaching and teaching in the synagogue. And while he was teaching, Mark's account tells us that the people were amazed at his teaching. They said, who is this man? Where does he get this authority to teach scripture? Where does he get this power to do miracles? But then very quickly, they were offended at him. And they said, isn't this Mary's son? Wasn't he just a carpenter? We knew his brothers. We knew his sisters. We knew the family. He's nothing special. Why does he get to be up front and teach and preach? And they were offended at him. And Mark captures something interesting about Jesus' response. First, Jesus said, you know, a prophet has honor except in his own town and with his own family. But then Jesus must have done something that got Mark's attention, because what Mark records next, he says, and Jesus was amazed at their unbelief. I don't know about you, but I don't want to amaze Jesus with my unbelief. And I don't want to be around people who amaze Jesus with their unbelief. But do you know what Jesus did? He didn't stay there. He left that town, went to the next town, and he started preaching and teaching and doing miracles. He removed himself from the negative voices, the negative environment. I love how Paul addresses this. Again, we're talking about getting rid of this. Paul uses some aggressive language in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. He says this, he says, the weapons of our warfare are not physical, meaning weapons of flesh and blood. He said, our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Think about that kind of language, battle language. And what are these fortresses? He goes on, he says, we are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. So he said, we're starting there. We're going to destroy any of these arguments that try to are prideful and try to set themselves up to exalt themselves above God. I mean, so when we sing, I exalt thee, and many of you are kneeling down and you're bringing that, that's tearing down those strongholds. It's destroying those thoughts that may try to exalt themselves above who Jesus is, the true knowledge of God. So he says that we're doing that, and we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ. So our choice is to follow Jesus, again, like we were singing, to obey Christ. So anything that comes against that, that's what we measure it against. Is this going to encourage me to keep obeying Christ and follow him, or is it going to take me away from him? We can train ourselves to be godly. We need to train ourselves to be godly. So I would encourage you, what are the negative voices in your life? Maybe there's a negative environment that you're in that you need to remove yourself. And you might say, well, how can I leave my workplace? Does that mean I need to get a new job? No, it doesn't mean you need to get a new job. But if you're in a negative environment, that means you're gonna have to counterbalance that with God's instructions and God's word even more. Yeah. Talking about detoxing your mind. So the first one is get rid of, remove those negative voices. Number two is we need to decide to delight in God's instructions. It's a decision, not a feeling. Delight in God's law. Did you read that correctly? Blessed is the one who delights in God's law. Do you delight in laws? I can't remember the last time I looked at a speed limit sign. I mean, it's just like, man, I take delight in that sign. Delight, though, we don't really use that word that much. I mean, Kelly says that about me a lot, but in general, we don't really use that word that much. But the delight is a powerful action word. It means to take pleasure in. It means to find pleasure. Like, that's where you've put your attention into something. You've chosen to do it. It's a decision. And the thing about the things we delight in, we'll think about. Think about those things that you take pleasure in your life. They might not necessarily be bad things, but things that you take pleasure in, your mind thinks about those often. I'll give you an example. So about a month and a half ago, I got a Blackstone grill. And if you don't know what a Blackstone grill is, it's a propane grill, but it's got a flat surface like a griddle. And you can make all kinds of things on it. And I'm having a lot of fun with this. I can make made fried rice, chicken cheese steaks, regular cheese steaks, a whole breakfast. You can put bacon on one side, pancakes, eggs, home fries. I mean, you can do the whole thing. It's so fun to do. But when I first got it, and if you get one, you have to season it like it's a cast iron pan. And so I did it, and I was reading some instructions, but I didn't do it right when I first got it. And I was getting kind of annoyed at it because there were some rust spots showing up, and so I didn't season it right. And so I'm trying other things, and I tried it again and still didn't get it right. And I've been thinking about how can I get this right, doing a little bit more research. And actually, it's been on my mind so much. Last Sunday, 2:30 a.m., I'm lying awake thinking about how to season this Blackstone grill. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I almost got up in the middle of the night and just said, I'm gonna try and season it right now. Seriously, I almost did. I'm like, I got church today. I need my rest. So I'm telling my family this that the next day, last Sunday, and Alyssa, our youngest, she's laughing at me. And I'm saying, well, what's so funny about that? She said, I don't know. She's like, I just find it interesting the difference between what keeps you up at night and what keeps mom up at night. She's thinking about a friend who's going through a really hard time. You're thinking about a Blackstone grill. I was like, well, there's a lot of truth to that. The truth is what we delight in, we will think about. What you spend time delighting in, taking pleasure in, that will be on your mind a lot. And are those things bad? Is a Blackstone grill bad? No, of course not. It's a great thing to have. But what the psalmist is teaching us is the same way that you delight in something and that causes you to think about, do that for God's instructions. Delight in God's instructions. Choose to delight in it. And then you'll meditate on it day and night. It's not gonna be based on a feeling. People of Israel are a great example of this. You go back to the story when Moses was leading the people of Israel out of Egypt from slavery toward the promised land. They were wandering around the wilderness for 40 years, and God supernaturally provided manna for them. Manna was this bread substance. He would provide it for them each morning. They would have enough for that day. They were so thankful for God's provision for a little bit. And it was only a matter of time until they started to complain. It's like, manna again? Are you serious? To the point where they were actually longing to go back to Egypt to be slaves just so they could have better food. So delighting in something, taking pleasure in something, should not be based just on feelings, because feelings are fleeting. Emotions will change. Our heart will change. Our affections will change. So decide to delight in God's instructions. Then you'll meditate on it day and night. What is meditate? The best illustration that I have for meditating is one I learned growing up on a farm. So I grew up on a farm, and when I was very young child, I remember we had some cows in the meadow, and I remember watching them just sit there in the heat of the day and chew, like they were chewing gum. And it was always so confusing to me. So of course I asked my dad, I was like, why are they chewing gum, or what did they find? And he explained, if you're a farmer, you can probably explain this better than me, but he explained that a cow has multiple stomachs, and when they eat grass, they just scarf it down in one big gulp, and it goes right into their stomach. And then hours later, they're in the heat of the day, they're just sitting and resting, their stomach actually regurgitates it back up, and they begin to chew it. I know it's gross, but it's a good point to this. They chew it and break it down to pull more of the nutrition out of that food to feed their body. It's called ruminate, right? Which meditate is very closely related to ruminate. Meditate on God's word. And that's why I think it's a great practice, such a helpful practice, to read God's word every day. Read it in the morning, and then you can chew on it the rest of the day. Pull all of those nutrients out of that to affect your mind and your soul and your spirit. It does not work to read scripture once a week or once a month, or, you know, the only time you hear about the Bible is from a preacher on Sunday. Read the Bible every day and then meditate on it, think about it, ponder it, pray through it, put it into practice in your life for that day. God has a word for you for today. It's called daily bread. And just like God provided manna for each day, enough for each day. He said, you don't need to collect this, save it for the next day. I'll give enough for you to each day. Well, Israelites, they tried that anyway. They tried to set some aside for the next day. And you know what happened? It spoiled. God has a daily word for you. Whatever you're facing today, he's got a word for you. Get in God's word, delight in it, meditate on it day and night, and see how it would change your life. Detox your mind is not just about removing all the negative thoughts, but it's refilling with God's instructions. Refilling your mind with his word. Refilling. That brings me to my final thought. Detox your mind does lead us to actually adopting a new mindset. Alignment with God's word leads to adopting a new mindset. It's not just having random thoughts and random portions of scripture, but it's actually assembling new mindsets on scripture. We see this in Psalm 1. The psalmist says, when you delight in the law and God's instructions and meditate on them day and night, here's the new mindset. You will be like a tree planted by streams of water. It means being planted, standing firm in a storm. Being connected to resources that will never run dry. It means producing fruit in every season, prospering in everything that you do. The Lord watches over the path of the godly. I hope you get these words in your spirit today, because it's this mindset is so powerful in everyday life. In what we face in this life of faith, through the highs and lows. That's why, again, why I love the Psalms. It helps us put language to how we can pray through the highs and lows of life. How do we adopt this mindset? Paul, again, gives us a lot of teaching on this. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. That tells me that we're going to be tempted to conform to how the world lives their lives. The systems in this world, the patterns, the behaviors, the actions of the people around us who have not decided to follow Jesus. We're going to be tempted to follow that pattern because humans, we like to imitate. We learn best by imitation, by copying. You remember how you learned how to write. It's like trace these letters. So we learn by copying patterns. And Paul is saying, look, don't conform to the pattern that you see going on in this world. It's going to lead you astray. But instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformation takes place from God's word and his spirit being applied to our lives. So when you renew your mind, again, this new mindset, these new mindsets will be formed. He said, that's when you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. How many of you want to know what God's will is for your life? See, and the pathway to do that is to start by not following the patterns of how people behave in this world, but letting God's word transform the way, change the way you think. And then you will know what his good, pleasing, and perfect will is for your life. It's good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. See, alignment to God's word leads to adopting a new mindset. And I want to give you three mindsets that I have seen as a pastor, just observing people's lives, that I think will really help you. Starts by removing old mindsets and replacing it with these new mindsets based right on scripture. And I want to give them to you today. And the first one is an abundance mindset. See, in life, it's so easy to walk around in a poverty mentality. Am I gonna have enough? Will there be enough at the end of the month? Am I gonna have enough to pay the bills? What about the economy and the inflation? And then you can so easily get into a not enough mentality. But abundance mindset is built right on scripture, that God is the God of more than enough. Not just enough, not hopefully enough. He's the God of more than enough. And just like God told Abraham, I will bless you so that you can be a great source of blessing to others. God wants to do the same thing in you and through you. He is Jehovah Jireh. His resources never run dry. His blessing is so great that when the windows of heaven are open, and his blessing comes down, you won't have enough room to contain it, to store it. You have to share it with other people. He's the God of abundance, and he will do more, immeasurably more, than you could ask, think, or imagine. I want to encourage you to replace that poverty mentality with the God who is the God of abundance mentality and mindset. Second mindset is a protection mindset. It's easy to see, and I see this in people when they're dealing with sickness or disease or pain or wondering if something bad is gonna happen, and their mind is always, well, something bad's gonna happen today, anticipating the worst rather than believing the best. And it's a mindset that can become a cycle, just getting stuck in the mud in this. And I want you to build that the Lord is your protector. He is a sun and a shield. A sun leads us and a shield protects us. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Oh, there may be some weapons formed against you. You may be attacked by fear, thoughts of fear, but those thoughts, they are not going to prosper because the Lord is your protection. He is your hiding place. He gives you songs that of deliverance, songs of victory that you can sing and build yourself up in your most holy faith so that even if you do stumble, you will not fall and you will not stay down because the Lord is there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. I want you to know he's your physician. He's the great healer. When Jesus went to the cross, he defeated death, but he also carried our sins. He carried our sickness. He carried our pains so that we wouldn't have to carry them. He defeated them. He's our healer. So that anything that you're facing today, it's temporary. And sometimes God heals immediately. Sometimes he heals gradually. But he is the ultimate healer. Sickness, disease, pain does not have the final word. The cross has the final word. Replace that mindset where you're anticipating something bad happening. And replace it with a protection mindset. The Lord is your protector. And then the third mindset is a purpose mindset. This is why I encourage you week after week. You are God's masterpiece. So many people walk around thinking, does my life have any meaning? Does me being alive even matter to anyone? Does anyone notice me? Does God notice me? Or have I made too many mistakes and disqualified God being able to use me to do any good? And I'm here to tell you, you are God's masterpiece. You're his best work. And he's created you to do good works. As long as you're still breathing, God's got a plan for your life. He's got to put a purpose on your life to do good works wherever you are. So if you're leading a business, lead that business for the glory of God and the good of others. If you are a teacher or a coach, educate, teach, influence young people for the glory of God and for the good of others. You work in a store, if you work in an office, if you work in some kind of place where you're helping other people, oh, help people for the glory of God and the good of others. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. And don't give up because you're working for the Lord. Have endurance in what you're doing. I got this piece of advice from my nephew as a teenager this past summer. He said, "Do you know what the difference is between try and triumph? It's putting a little umph into it." So don't give up. You are valuable. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You've been created in the image of God, and you've been created for the mission of God. In his image, and you've been given a mission to be part of building the kingdom of God. He created you, and he wants to use the strengths that he's put inside of you for his good and for the good of others. No matter what you've been through, and you might be saying, "Well, Matt, I've made too many mistakes. Didn't I disqualify myself? I just feel like I'm damaged goods." And I'm here to tell you that God knows all that you've been through. He knows all that you've done, and he is a redeemer, and he restores, and he redeems what was lost, and he can use your story to help someone else. Your story of being healed and whole, made whole, is a testimony of the goodness of God. And I want to close just with the lyrics of that hymn that so many of us know, "Because he lives." And I want to invite you just to close your eyes for a moment, because I just want to speak these, and I really want these words to go in your heart today. And think about these words, whatever you may be facing. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future, life is worth living just because he lives. Do you believe that today? And you receive it? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. God, I thank you for this detox treatment plan. How to get rid of toxic substances that may be weighing us down and be refilled with your instructions. God, I pray for a renewed hunger for your word, a renewed desire to not just read, but to meditate on it day and night. Ponder it while we're driving. Discuss it with a friend or a coworker. Chew on it throughout the day. Pull out all of the truths that are gonna help us and feed us. And God, I pray that we would adopt these new mindsets to guide our lives. Build on scripture. Build on your instructions. And being able to be walked out according to the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I pray that we would walk in your spirit. Walk by your spirit. Be guided by your spirit in what we say and what we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Are you thankful for God's word today? And I pray for you. It encourages you. I don't want to close our time today without giving an opportunity. If you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, or maybe you did at one point in your life, but you've walked away from it, I want to give you an opportunity to decide once and for all, surrender your life to Jesus, make him your Lord and Savior, repent of your sins, receive forgiveness for your sins. And this decision sets you on a new path, just like Psalm 1 says, the Lord watches over the path of the godly. But it starts with this decision to surrender. And so I want to give you that opportunity to do that. So would you just bow your heads one more time? And if you're ready to make that decision today, the Spirit of God has been prompting your heart and you're ready, I'm just going to invite you to repeat this prayer after me. I'm going to invite everyone to pray it just so no one's praying alone. Would you say, Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for me. I believe he rose from the dead for me. I repent of my sins, receive forgiveness for my sins, turn from my selfish ways, and choose Jesus as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and it was a sincere desire right from your heart, the Bible says that you have been born again, spiritually reborn. Physical body doesn't change, but your spirit is reborn. You're a new creation in Christ. And so as a church, we want to walk with you because this journey of faith and growing as a follower of Jesus is not meant to be walked alone. And so we want to walk with you. So if you made that decision, would you have the courage just to put your hand up until an usher sees you? They have a gift for you. There's a Bible and some other material in there. And let me just tell you, you're not alone in making these decisions. We have people, most weeks we have many people making these decisions. And so I see a hand there. Come on, can we celebrate those that are making decisions today? In that Bible, there's a card. If you would, just fill it out. Make sure one of our team gets it in the Connections room. And after we dismiss, I want to invite you to stop by Connections. We have a team of people there that would love to talk with you and pray with you and help you take your next step of how to walk out your faith. All right. Well, would you stand, please? So good to be together. If you need prayer for any reason, we'll have a prayer team down front. We'd love to pray with you. Whatever you may be facing is not too difficult for God. Have somebody pray with you. If you're new to Worship Center, feel free to stop by Connections. We have a great team of people there. We'd love to talk with you and help you get connected. And I love to remind you that you are God's masterpiece. You've been created on purpose. An incredible purpose on your life. And I want you to know God can do immeasurably more in you and through you than you could ever ask, think, or imagine. So go out this week and passionately pursue the purpose God has in your life. Have a great week, and let's stay connected this week.